Okay, welcome back to the BRS, Dr. Yitzchak Belazon Beis Medrash Afternoon Kollel. As Rabbi Shabtai just said, we are proud and excited to have a robust Elul Zman, not only to not be canceling the Afternoon Kollel during Elul, a time during the year, at least in South Florida, not known for its active learning, but to have expanded the learning 4 afternoons a week, and an incredible array of Rosh Yeshiva, of Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Shabtai deserves a great expression of our appreciation for putting together another outstanding learning opportunities. So please, on your own, thank him. And a special thank you to the Froelich Financial Group and Avi Froelich, my dear friend, for his generosity yet again to sponsor all this learning on these afternoons each and every week. It should be a big schuss for him and for his family. So during my time in the Men's Afternoon Kollel, during Elul, I want to cover some Elul topics. So we're going to learn about Tashlich, we're going to learn about the Simonim on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to learn about an Erev Tavshilin, some alumnus behind an Erev Tavshilin, and to cover some contemporary topics and contemporary halacha, but to do it slowly, to go through the sources, to read them inside, and to be able to be Mekayim Talmud Torah together. So we're going to begin with an Elul topic, a Tishrei topic, which is also very much related to this week's Parsha, Parshas Kisavo, and that is the concept of vidui, of confession. Vidui is very much a part of Elul and Tishrei. We've not yet begun, by we I mean the Ashkenazim, Svardim have begun Slichos, and for all the kitnios in the world, I wouldn't trade for a little extra sleep, not worth the rice for those few days. They've already been saying it Slichos, we've not yet begun, but we will soon. And the Slichos consists of, essentially, confession. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Ni'ilah, the opportunity over and over again to say Yud Gimel Midos, but essentially includes confession. So what is it really all about? In these source sheets that you have, again, feel free to print them or keep them afterwards, you have an outline of what we're going to talk about together in addition to the sources. So in our parsha, Vayaki Savor al Arta Shashem Lakecha Nasein Lacha Nachala, when you enter the land, V'yishtav Yashavta, but you're going to inherit it and you're going to take up residence there. V'lakachta Merishis Kopri Adama Asher Tevi Me'atzacha Asher Hashem Lakecha Nasein Lach V'samta Batena. Here we have the mitzvah of Bikurim. The Torah is giving specific instructions to the farmer. The first fruit that you grow, you need to identify. Tie a little string around that fig. Identify it. V'halachta El HaMakom. Bring it to the place. Asher Hashem Lakecha L'shakein Shemosham. We spoke several weeks ago here in Shul. Yes, back in person in Shul. Why the Torah never identifies the coordinates. What are the GPS coordinates of this Beis HaMikdash? Torah is specifically by design cryptic and ambiguous and mysterious. It never tells us exactly where it is. It just alludes. It's a place. Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha. Ubas Elokon, you come to the Kohen Asher Yivayim Ahim, it will be in that time. V'amartei Elov, and you say, Yigayin Natin Ayom Lashem Elokecha. Ki Basi El Arta Shem Nishpa Hashem Elokecha. V'lakacha Kohen Tenem Yadecha. The Kohen takes these first fruit and brings them before the Mizbeach. Vanisa Va'amartei, you're going to answer and you're going to say this recitation. You're going to say, recite this formula. Arami Ovid Avi, Vayerid Mitzrayim, Avergam Hashem, Mizei Ma'at. We're familiar with this from the Haggadah. My father was an Aramean. What does that mean exactly? Not for now. We lived there, Vayisham L'Goy Gadol. We became a great nation. They oppressed us, they persecuted us, they gave us hard work. I called out to Hashem, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, He took us to this place, He took us to this great land flowing with milk and honey. And now I come to you. So here we have this whole introduction of Bikurim, and Bikurim follows, and I included the wrong section, but Bikurim is followed, the farmer says next what? Hashkifa Mimon Katshecha. Hashem appears, where is it? V'yamarta lefanav. Samachta b'chol atov Hashem asal l'shem l'kecha. Ki sechalel la'aser eskol ma'aser tvo eskol b'shem ha'shlishis. This week's parasha, it's Dvarim Perach Avav, Pasuk Yud Beis, not in the source sheet. You distribute all the tithes to the proper address, to where they're meant to go. V'yamarta lefnei Hashem l'kecha. And then you're going to say something. What is it that you say? B'yarti ha'kodesh min ha'bayis. I destroyed, I eliminated everything from my home that was not supposed to be in my home. I distributed it, I gave it out exactly where it was meant to go. Lo avarti mimitzvosecha, I didn't violate anything. Velo shachachti, nor did I forget anything. Lo achalti boni mimeni, I didn't eat it in a state of mourning. Velo biarti mimeni b'tameh, and I didn't burn it while I was in a state of contamination. Velo nasati mimeni lemeis, Shamati b'kol Hashem Elokecha. I listen to everything. Hashkifa b'mon kachecha, and so on and so forth. So we have what Chazal call, what do they call this? Source number two, the Mishnah in Sota, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah there lists a series of things that can be said in any language. Elu ne'emaron b'chol lashon. The following texts can be recited in any language. Lav davka, they don't have to be said only in Hebrew. You can say them in any language. Parsha Sota, Vidoy Meiser, Krishma, Tfila, Birchas Amazon, Shuvas Eidos, and so on and so on. Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza, Brachos, Klalus, Birchas Kohanim. A long list the Mishnah has of the things that can be said in any language. By the way, as an aside, not for now. If in fact the Mishnah says you can recite Tfila b'chol lashon, Shema, Shemoneh Esrei can be said in any language, why did the Chassam Sofer, the Baram Shik, why did they go absolutely, vehemently, vociferously opposed to reform when they began to pray in English? When they began to translate the Siddur into German, I should say, not English. The Siddur into German. It says Tfila b'chol lashon. You can dial it in any language. It's a Beferis Mishnah. So why exactly did they go that way? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Asher Weiss points out that sometimes the halacha can be one thing, but the Balei HaMesorah, the great rabbis, the great ambassadors of the Mesorah that we lean on and rely on, they have a certain vision, Roa Es Hanola, they can see where something will lead. And they anticipated that slippery slope, that today doing something that is a Mishnah in Sota and perfectly permissible will be lead to the introduction of an organ and the introduction of this and the introduction of that and exactly where it would go. But the Mishnah here lists several things that can be said in any language, and one of those, it's the first phrase of the second line of the Mishnah, is Vidui Meiser. Translate the words Vidui Meiser. Vidui means confession. The confession of the Meiser. The Rambam also uses this language. The Rambam Hechaz Bikurim, Kshayim Avim Bikurim, Avim Yadon Torah, Torah B'nai Yona, they would bring the different birds. Mitzvah Saseh Halacha Yud. Mitzvah Saseh Lehisvados Pamikdash Ala Bikurim, B'Shah Hashem Avim. There is a positive biblical commandment to confess, to recite Vidui on the Bikurim when you bring them. The Rambam Hechaz Bikurim Perek Beis Halacha Yud. You begin with the story of Aram Oviravi, where you came from, and you continue that you've distributed everything. That part has to be said only in Hebrew. So you see, the Mishnah in Sota, the Rambam in Hilchas Bikurim, both refer to this recitation, this formula, this text as Vidoy Meiser, the confession. Now I ask you, my dear friends of the BRS Men's Kolo, I ask you a very simple question. I want you to try this confession at home. The truth is I like you too much, so I don't want you to try it at home because it could be pikuach nefesh. You could end up with a black eye. But imagine you tell your wife, honey, I have a confession to make. I need to sit down with you after dinner. I really need to confess something. Now you have panic on her face. A confession? Oh my goodness, what is it? What is it? Say, here's my confession. My confession is, I have to confess. I can't hold it back. I must confess. My confession is, I'm perfect. My confession is, I've done everything exactly correct. I've done everything right. I did everything the way you asked me to. I made no mistakes. I followed up. I followed through. I'm perfect. Lo shachachti, I didn't neglect. Lo avarti, I didn't violate. I have to confess, I'm perfect. How well will that do for the wonders of your shalom bias? I'm going to imagine not very well. So the first question I want to address you, it's not mine, it's a famous question, is why did our rabbis call this recitation a confession? Where's the confession? Doesn't confession include admission? Concession? Isn't a confession what I did wrong, not what I did right? So how is this Vidoy Meiser, which is a formula all about everything I did right, lo avarti, I didn't violate, lo shachachti, I didn't forget, I'm perfect, what I did was perfect, that's my confession. What kind of a confession is that? Number two, this notion of confession is fundamental and axiomatic, it is foundational to the experience we're in of the process of tshuva. We're now in Elul, we're deep in Elul, and on our way to Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and this is a time of tshuva, of return, of repentance, of repair. And the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Kol mitzvah shebetorah ben aseh ben lo saseh im avar adam alachas mehem ben zdor meshkoga, kishiyas tshuva v'yoshem micheto, chayav lehizvados lefnei hakel baruch hu. Any mitzvah of the Torah, be it a positive commandment that you neglected, be a negative commandment that you violated. If you violate it, whether intentionally or unintentionally, when you want to repair, when you want to return, when you want to grow and improve, what do you need to do? Chayav? Lehis vados. You have to confess. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Isha Isha ki yasu v'zvadu es chatasam, and so on. Vidui is a mitzvah saseh. Vidui, says the Rambam, is a positive commandment. Ketzad mizvadin, then the Rambam tells us. And if it's a positive commandment, what's involved in it? What do I have to do? Omer ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha. Hashem, I made mistakes. I failed. I violated you. V'asisi kach v'kach. One has to enunciate, articulate, elaborate what they did wrong. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed by my actions. And I'm never going to do it again. It's regret and remorse. It is a confession. It is a commitment to the future. And this is the core of vidui. And the more you dwell on it, the better off you are. The better off you are. Dwell on it. Express it. Articulate it. Confront it. Confront it. So for the Rambam, vidui is the core component of tshuva. Vidui is at the center of tshuva. To really, you can't repent because in your heart or in your mind you decided you want to be a good guy. You can't just decide, now I'm a good person. You need to articulate. You need to make what you did, bala olam. You have to make those words real. You have to be able to read them, look at them, listen to them, and say, wow, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed. I don't want to do that again. I'm never doing that again. That is the core of tshuva. So what is this process of vidui? Why is it so center? Why is it so important? And where does it come from? We're going to read shortly Parshas Netzavim. And in Parshas Netzavim, we have another cryptic parsha. Everyone see the source sheets? You still with me? I'm going to spare you the Avram Fried song. This mitzvah that I command you today, it's not wondrous, it's not far. Lo b'shamayim, it's not in the heavens that you say, it's so inaccessible, I can't get it. Lo me'iver liyam, it's not on the other side of the sea that you say, who can take us on the other side of the sea? Ki karav eilecha adavar ma'od. It's right there, it's right in front of you. Beficha, where is it? In your mouth? Uvilvavcha la'aso, so it's in your heart to do. And all of the mafarshim and parshas netzavim jump in and wonder, what is this mitzvah? The Torah doesn't tell us. The Torah simply leaves it a mystery. Ki ha-mitzvah zos, this mitzvah, the mitzvah that you grapple with, you struggle with, the mitzvah that you think is so far off, so inaccessible, it's not in the heavens. It's not the other side of the sea. It's right under your nose. It's in your mouth and in your heart. What is the mitzvah? The only thing missing is what's the mitzvah? Rashi says, it means the whole Torah. It means observing the Torah. You think living an observant lifestyle, being a shomer Torah or mitzvahs, being frum, for lack of a better term, erlich, you think it's so hard, it's so difficult? Just get started. Tamuru, taste it and you'll see how delicious it is. Just get started. The Babich Rebbe said, put on tefillin, light the candles, get the feel, get a taste of how delicious a mitzvah is, you'll want to do more. Lo rechoka, it's not impossible, it's right in front of you, that's Rashi. But the Ramban has a different interpretation. Says the Ramban, source number 6. The tam ki mitzvah zos al kol Torah kulo, v'anachon ki kol Torah yomar kol mitzvah, asher nochi mitzavcha. If Rashi were right, and it's referring to the whole Torah, then the Torah should have phrased it very differently. Not ha-mitzvah hazos, the mitzvah, but it should have said kol ha-mitzvah. Av ha-mitzvah hazos al ha-tshuva nizkeres, v'ashevos el v'avecha. Says the Ramban, what is the mitzvah that the Torah here is talking about in Netzavim? Ha-mitzvah hazos, what is it that's not far away? What is it that's not inaccessible? It's tshuva. And how does the Ramban know that? What's the hint? What is the signal in the pasuk that tells you that the mitzvah that Netzavim is talking about is the mitzvah of tshuva? Says the Ramban, it's the word beficha. It's in your mouth. Because what is the mitzvah that's in your mouth? Tshuva. Say, tshuva's in my mouth. Tshuva's in my heart. I understand how tshuva's in my heart. In what way is tshuva in my mouth? And the answer is, how is tshuva in my mouth? The mitzvah of vidui. Vidui. Because at the core of tshuva is, she is vadu as avonam. You have to confess your mistakes. Ves avon avosam b'fiem v'yeshuva b'libam Hashem v'yikab l'olim hayom haTorah l'asos l'doros kasher hizkir atov v'nacha b'chol levavcha k'mo shepir Rashi. So says the Ramban, disagreeing with Rashi, ki ha-mitzvah azos that Avram Fried was singing about is not talking about kol haTorah kula. Ki ha-mitzvah azos is talking about the mitzvah of tshuva, and specifically it's talking about the mitzvah of vidui. So go back to our question. Why is it called vidui meiser? If the farmer gets up and he says, I'm perfect, did nothing wrong, got it all right, I separated everything properly, I distributed it properly, lo avarti, lo shachachti, I didn't forget, I didn't neglect, I didn't violate, Why in the world is it called vidui? And how we answer that will, in fact, inform and inspire how we perform vidui over these 40 days as part of our journey and process of tshuva. You know, even if you're Ashkenazi, you don't have to wait for slichos. You don't have to wait for Aseres Yimei Tshuva or Yom Kippur to say vidui. Vidui is the center of tshuva. I'll tell you a secret. If in the middle of December or March or June you want to do tshuva, you can do vidui then too. It doesn't have to be only in Elul Tishrei. If a person feels regret, you feel remorse, you feel bad about something you've done, and you want to recite vidui, do the proper formula of tshuva, then you do vidui. You do vidui. So this is the time of year we're supposed to be thinking about, reflecting on. Where have I gone wrong? Where have I failed? Where have I underachieved? How can I be better? And in order to truly grow, you have to articulate it. You have to say it. You have to confront it. And then we can grow. And then we can go from it. So what's going on over here? So I want to share several approaches with you. First, this is Sforno, source number 7, Rav Avadya Sforno, 1475 to 1550, an Italian, the great Italian biblical exegete. The Sforno says the following: Biarti HaKodesh min habayis b'chataeinu b'avonos avoseinu husra havoda me'abachoros asher lehem ayiruyos trumos u'maisros ka'amro v'ata me'osam b'matnosam b'avir kopeta rechem v'zeo v'idoi maisar she'izkiru chazal. Sforno says something also a little bit cryptic. He says, and notice the words that he's commenting on. Why is it called vidui, the confession of the Meister, if you're saying everything you did wrong, everything you did right? He says, because the ceremony is a vidui, because there's an implicit mistake, there's an implicit shortcoming, there's an implicit failure of history that hovers over this entire ritual. There's an elephant in the room when you recite Bikura, when you distribute the Meister. And what is the elephant in the room? To whom should you have been distributing the Trumas and Maestros? Who should have been in the position of distinction that they should have been supported by the community because they were the leaders of the community and the role models of the community? Who should that have been? It should have been the Bechor. It should have been the firstborn. But the firstborn made a mistake. The firstborn came up short when they participated in the Cheta Egel and everything changed. So if the Bechor were in fact, if the Bechor were elevated to that position of distinction, if the Bechor wore the Kohanim and Leviim, and the Bechor were the ones who served in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Bechor were the ones to whom you gave the Trumas and Maisros, where would you distribute Trumas and Maisros? Within your own home. Because where did the Bechor live? A Bechor lived in your home. The firstborn were in your home. So says the Sforno, when you recite, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Habayis, I got rid of the Kodesh from my home. I didn't keep the tithe in my home. I gave it out where it was meant to go. Why did you have to take it out of your home? Because the Bechor gave up. Bechor lost that position of distinction. Bechor lost that entitlement to Trumos and Maestros. So implicit in the fact that you have to get it out of your home is that the address to where it's being delivered is not in your home. And why is that? Because the Bechorim made a mistake. The Bechoros made a mistake, and they lost that position of distinction. It was given to the Kohanim and the Leviim instead. And therefore, by merely mentioning the need to remove these sacred items from our home and to give them to someone outside our home, we are in effect reciting a vidui on behalf of the Bechor, on behalf of the population of firstborns, for the terrible mistake and the shortcoming. And that, says the Sforno, is the vidui. The vidui in the Maisar, even though you're saying you did everything right, you did everything right. You, the farmer, in your particular observance of Trumas and Maisros, you, the farmer, did everything right. However, the whole episode is not done right. And what's the evidence of that? The evidence of that is the fact that Biarti HaKodesh, from where? Min HaBayis. If I were giving it to a Bechor, I wouldn't be ridding it from my home. The fact that I have to take it out of my home to give to an outsider is only because the firstborn came up short. That is the insight of the Sforno. The Malbim, source number 8, the Malbim, Rabbi Leibish ben Yechiel Michel, the 19th century. The Malbim says the following. He says, Vidui does not really mean confession. Vidui does not mean confession. The word vidui, we translate it as confession, but that's a mistranslation, it's a mistake on our part. What the word vidui really means is verification. Vidui is our expression of making ourselves vulnerable, of wanting a close relationship. And one stage of developing a relationship in marriage, with friendship, in parenting, in any sphere of relationship, one of the critical components is open communication. And another level is that you're willing to make yourself vulnerable, to confide, to give access to your innermost secrets and fears and failures and successes. Vidui is about allowing ourselves to become vulnerable, which leads to a closeness and an intimacy. So a vidui doesn't necessarily mean confession. Vidui means I'm about to let you in. Vidui means I'm about to let you in. I'm making myself vulnerable. I can make myself vulnerable to say what I've done wrong, or I can make myself vulnerable to say what I've done right. Vidui is not about what I say, but my willingness to say. Vidui is all about making myself vulnerable and my willingness to communicate with you. As I zok the Malbim, that is how the Malbim understands this mitzvah. Sefer HaChinuch elaborates on the mitzvah. Excuse me, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, "Shenitztavinu lesvados neshama achatonu shechatonu beis shenishnachem aleihem." We are commanded to confess and to elaborate and to enunciate our shortcomings and mistakes when we regret them. V'zeh inyan vidui sheyomer ha'adam beis hatshuva on Hashem, and so on. Klamar sheyasker achet she'asa b'feirish b'fiv. You have to articulate it. You can't just think it in your heart. You know why? Because when we just think something in our head or heart, we bluff it. We just bluff it in our mind. We pretty much, oh yeah, I did something, sort of, maybe, I don't know. If I hurt you, Hashem, I apologize. The worst kind of bogus apology. But when you enunciate, when you articulate, I mean, think about the following analogy. If your child does something wrong, your young child, or even an adult child, a more mature child, and you take away their technology, or you put them in timeout, and they want to come out of timeout, or they want to get their technology back, what do good parents do? They'll turn to the child and say, the child comes and they say, Abba, I'm really sorry. Can I have my phone back? What is the response of a good parent? Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for being remorseful. Thank you for saying you're sorry. Let me just ask you one question. What are you sorry about? What are you sorry about? Because if the child can't articulate what they're sorry about, they will have failed to learn the lesson of why they were in timeout or without their technology. So it's not enough to say you're sorry. The only way you know that sorry is good, you know, I gave the example of parents and children, but it can happen in marriage too. The husband doesn't even know what he did wrong, but he knows he's in the doghouse. So when he realizes his wife's giving him the cold shoulder, he finally says to her, listen, honey, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. So she looks at him, she says, it means a lot to me. I appreciate you saying that. What are you sorry for? But now the clueless husband says, you know, the thing that you got really upset about, I'm really sorry. She says, right, what was that thing? You know, the thing that you're upset and I sometimes do and I feel really terrible about it. I'm really sorry about that. She looks at him and she says, hey, clown, if you can't even know why I'm upset, what is the value of your sorry? Your sorry is worthless if you can't connect your I'm sorry with what you're sorry about. And the same is true in our relationship with Hashem. We have to be able to articulate what we're sorry about. Otherwise, what in fact is the value of that sorry? Mishar Shea Mitzvah writes the Sefer HaChinuch at the root of this mitzvah. L'fisha bahudas ha'avon b'pet tizkala machsheva sachoti b'daito. When you articulate it, you are revealing what's really in your heart. And what you're also affirming is that you realize and recognize that you don't need to articulate it for Hashem. He already knows it. Hashem has access. He's got it all on video. He knows everything. He is watching. He is recording absolutely everything. And the fact that you're willing to admit it and confess it and articulate it, you're basically telling Hashem, I know that you already see it. By articulating it, by confronting it, by saying it, you will position yourself better to be strong, to confront it, not to repeat it. After you say, I did such and such, and I was such a fool, so if you say, I did this, and I was a fool, who's going to be a fool again? Hopefully that will prevent you. It also will incentivize you not to do it again. Rav Hirsch also weighs in, and Rav Hirsch says the following in his Siddur. In the Siddur, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, on Vidui, Rav Hirsch says the following. The first step of tshuva, which is the most essential, and at the same time the most difficult, is Vidui, the confession. Or rather, his vadeh, the admission to oneself. He points out that what is the grammar of Vidui is his vadeh, which is hitpael. The confession or the admission is to whom? Is to ourselves. It's not God who needs an avowal or confession. He knows us through and through. In fact, much better than we know ourselves. But we ourselves are very much in need of such honest and unreserved confession. It is to our own selves that we must admit that we have done wrong. For without such confession to ourselves, we can never become better. It's a difficult admission indeed for a man to make. There's within each and every one of us a small defender who is ready at all times to deny outright that we've done wrong at all, or at least to make excuses to mitigate and cloak our transgression. We have within us every Jew, every human being has within themselves the greatest defense attorney that ever lived. There's a little defender that sits on our shoulder and who's always ready to rationalize and to defend, who's always ready to give the benefit of the doubt and to explain, who's always ready to come to our defense. And you know what? That doesn't help us because it doesn't enable us to actually confront our shortcomings and our mistakes and where we're going wrong. In this manner, our defender veils from our sight the true picture of ourselves as we really are, but by doing so also very effectively blocks the path to our betterment. Therefore, aval anachnu chatanu is the first most essential and indispensable part of confession that we have to make ourselves. Truly, we have sinned. Such a beautiful insight of Rav Hirsch, that confession is the beginning of the process of repair, because what we're doing is we're silencing the defender and we're not trying to rationalize or justify. We're willing to admit, you know what, I'm not perfect. That doesn't mean I'm bad. It means I'm not perfect and I have area and room that I need to grow. That is Rav Hirsch's commentary in his Siddur. Rav Hirsch also comments in Chorev, and he writes the following. Similarly, as long as you deceive yourself with regard to your sin, as long as you refuse to recognize you've sinned, as long as you hear a voice within you glossing over and excusing your wrongdoing, so long as you do not clearly and faithfully see yourself as you are, and also your sin and its consequences which you have already suffered, and which according to strict justice you must still expect, then you have not yet taken the first step to return. Cast away the deception. Don't listen to the extenuating voice within you. Have the courage to see yourself as you are. Learn the kind of life which the Torah demands and compare it with your own. Rabbi Soloveitchik comments elsewhere, not here, that it's not a coincidence the kior that you had the basin where they would wash made from the mirrors was right next to the Mizbeach. Said the Rav, why? Because before you went to the Mizbeach, before you offered that sacrifice, in that effort and gesture to repair, you need to look in the mirror. The prerequisite to improving the relationship, the prerequisite to repairing the relationship is the willingness to look in the mirror and see yourself as you are, to improve yourself. And that's what vidui really is all about. That is what the vidui accomplishes. That's what the vidui accomplishes. Rabbi Soloveitchik has, it's not here in your source sheets, but I want to read to you, it's from the Oyu Chumash, and it comes from Shiurei HaRav. In the Shiurei HaRav, the Rav has another interpretation, going back to our question, why is it called vidui meiser? Vidui meiser? The farmer says, I'm perfect. I distributed everything perfectly. I didn't neglect one detail. I didn't violate one thing. I didn't forget anything. And that's called vidui. So listen to what Rabbi Soloveitchik says. Listen to what he writes. He says, this formula is known as vidui maestros, the confession of tithes. Prima facie, the title confession is not fitting for this parsha. We know what confession stands for. We confess that we've sinned, transgressed, erred. Yom Kippur confession is an act of merciless accusation and self-condemnation. Yet, in this statement, there's no account of sins. To the contrary, of mitzvahs and good deeds. The Jew boasts that he's not violated even one order. He's fulfilled every mitzvah. Why is this formula referred to as confession? How can the praise of man simultaneously be the confession of man? And listen to what he writes. A basic principle of Jewish thinking regarding repentance and confession is reflected in this nomenclature. Repentance is predicated on two principles. First, on the power within men to be able to accuse themselves, on the ability to think of themselves as unworthy and inferior. And we say that on Yom Kippur. We say, and you are justified for all that befalls us, emerges the expression of self-accusation. Second, on the ability of every individual to cleanse himself or herself, to comprehend the boundless hidden spiritual powers which are found in the human personality and which propel one in the direction of return to the sovereign of the universe. On the ability of man to elevate himself to majestic heights even after he has sunk into the abyss of impurity. Second principle is just as important as the first. A man obviously cannot engage in repentance if he does not have the boldness to admit he has sinned. Without recognition of sin, there can be no regret. Yet there can be no commitment for the future if the man has no faith in his ability to rise above the sins. If he believes he's helpless and subservient to natural mechanical forces which pull him downward, if he is not convinced of freedom of the human creative act, then he cannot feel his own guilt and he will not change. If man looks upon himself as impotent creature, then the position of the sinner is helpless. So says the Rav, and it's so powerful, he says that the prerequisite to growing through tshuva is twofold. And here's where vidui comes in. Number one, to be honest with ourselves, to admit our shortcomings, our imperfections, and our mistakes. But the other admission that we have to make is that we're capable of more. Because a person who feels entirely incapable, a person who feels incompetent, will also not grow. Because they'll say, it's true I don't do better, but it's because I can't do better. The first step is willing to admit I'm not doing well. But you need that second step. Because if you're not doing well, but you think you can't do better, you'll never do better. So therefore comes along the farmer, says the Rav. And the farmer says, you know, I did this perfectly. Trumas and Maisros. I separated them. I gave them out. I didn't neglect. I didn't violate. I didn't forget. I did everything perfectly. And how is that a confession? Because when you admit you did that perfectly, what you're admitting is, I guess I am capable. I guess I am competent. I guess when I apply myself, I can get it done. So you're right. This is not a confession for Trumas and Maisros. But the fact that you admit I did Trumas and Maisros well, in fact, reveals that you are capable of doing much more better as well. When I was a kid, I was a classic underachiever. I see my father's on today. I was a classic underachiever. I did not look forward to the parent-teacher conference nights of the year. I did not look forward to their coming home to tell me that all the teachers reported that Ephraim, you know, he's decent brain. He could do better. If only he applied himself, he would do so much more. So my parents would come home and tell me, your grades are eh, and you're an underachiever, and your teacher says if you applied yourself, you could do more. And if you don't, then X, Y, and Z will not happen. Now, X, Y, and Z in those days did not mean your phone or your device. X, Y, and Z meant other things. But X, Y, and Z, so what would happen? I'd buckle down and work hard, and the next test do well. But here was the problem when you did well in the next test. The problem, and I hope my kids, I'm confident my kids are not listening to this. The problem when you did well in the next test is that all along you said, the reason I don't do well is my teacher hates me, and my teacher's a terrible teacher, and nobody's doing well, and this is why I can't focus, and no one yet at that time had been diagnosing ADD, and every excuse under the sun of why I can't do well. The problem is that when you do well on that next test, because you buckle down because you didn't want to be put in time out, now your parents look at you and say, you see? If you could do well on that test, what does it show all along and what does it show for the future? You could do well whenever you apply yourself. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's Vidui Meiser. Why is Vidui Meiser called Vidui when you're saying I did it right? Because if you can get an A on Vidui Meiser, you can get an A on a lot more mitzvos in your life. You can get an A. So that's the other component of Vidui. There's the component of Vidui, which is I must admit I made mistakes and I was wrong. And I also have to admit that I can do better, that I'm capable of more. That's why it's vidui, and that's the process of vidui. This actually turns the entire vidui on its head. My dear friends, Elul and Tishrei, this time of the year, and any time of the year that we're engaged in tshuva, it turns it on its head, because what the Rav is telling us is that the goal of vidui is not to beat ourselves up, literally or figuratively. If you think about vidui, Hashem nebagadnu, we're actually striking ourselves, we're beating ourselves up. But the goal of vidui is not to say you're a nothing, you're a gurnished, you're a isvarf, you're unworthy, you're incapable, you're incompetent, you're a terrible failure. That's not the goal of vidui. The goal of vidui is the opposite. Build yourself up. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you come from? Do you know what you're capable of? Do you know what you could achieve? Do you know what happened if you'd maximize your time? The goal of vidui is not to knock you down. It's to lift you up. It's not to beat you up. The goal of vidui is to paint a picture of an image of who you could become. The Rav also writes here about vidui. The Rambam rules that repentance is incomplete if vidui has not been recited. Why is an oral confession so significant? A basic principle in the laws of transactions related to property, dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. Feelings, emotions, thoughts, ideas crystallize only after explicit verbal expression. A man knows and thinks many ideas which he cannot bring to his lips. Man can construct many psychological defenses within himself. Vidui forces man to admit the facts as they are, to express the painful truth the way that we are. The vidui recited silently at the conclusion of Shemona Esrei is said by each person individually, because Hashem did not make a covenant with the individual, rather only with the congregation of Israel as a communal entity. We approach this vidui in a mood of heartbreaking realization, in contrast to the communal vidui that we say in the Shemona Esrei. The Shem HaNatov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, Zatzal, passed away last year, also weighs in on this question. Why is it called vidui meiser? And how, in answering that, can it reflect on what vidui is really all about? And he says the following: we did what was right, Hashem, now you do what was right. How do we have the brazenness, the gall? How do we tell God, we did our part, now you do your part? It's an enormous chutzpah directed to Hashem. And why do we have to push God or pressure God? Is Hashem not trustworthy to follow up? And moreover, many ask from the language of the Mishnah that it's called vidui meiser, the confession. Is a vidui shachkan? If you're saying I did everything right, where is the vidui in this? And he quotes the Svarno, that this is a reference to the Bechor, the elephant in the room that hovers over, and so on. Skipping down. הספר נדב רק לתאר שתיים יחד, ועדה אחת איברה בחורה, ודבר מחודד שמעתי בשם הגון רב מאיר שפירו. אני קוטס נאו, the Rosh Hashiva of Chachmei Lublin, the founder of the Daf Yomi, the great Rav Meir Shapiro, who said, Amar Davidu hu ma she'omer lo avarti mitzvosecha ve lo shachachti. Haynu, lo shachachti ma she'lo avarti mitzvosecha u mizgaa b'zeh. What is it ve lo shachachti? Why is the vidui? Because what does the farmer say? Lo avarti mitzvosecha. I didn't forget anything. I'm sorry, I didn't violate anything. Ve lo shachachti. Now how do you translate, I didn't forget? What is it that the farmer is saying he didn't forget? So the simple understanding is that the farmer is saying, what I didn't forget is, I didn't forget to do any of the Trumas and Maestros. But Meir Shapiro said, no, the farmer was so arrogantly boasting that I didn't make any mistakes. You know why the farmer needs vidui? From the arrogance of thinking he didn't make any mistakes. Lo shachachti ma shelo avarti. I never forgot that I nailed this, that I got it all right, umizgah b'zeh, and was arrogant as a result. Aval yosef nir davidoi maestro udavke kishmikayim etzisem b'cholachem yevim vidui utshuva achatai malakim ha-mitzvos b'li chayos. כדבוי ומבלי אוסו הזריז, אז גם כן צורך וידוי. אז זה אמר בשם האדמור מבלז, זהו חילוק בין יפשפש במעשה ודקוי על חתום, וימשמש במעשה ודקוי על קיום המצווס בלי הכוונה. So he says the following, yes, the farmer says he did everything right, but you know, he did it right without mindfulness. He did it right without enthusiasm and zeal and alacrity. Sometimes you can get everything right. You did it right. I took the garbage out. What's your problem? I took the garbage out. But did you take the garbage out with a smile? Did you take the garbage out as my partner? Did you take the garbage out because you knew it would make me happy and you did it so I wouldn't have to? You could do the right things on paper. You could put a check mark and get it done. That doesn't mean that you did it right. And says Rabbi Bernard Weinger, Yishem and Atov, that's the vidui of the vidui meiser. And part of our process too is to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, did we go through the motions? Did we put check marks? Or did we do it with a sense of zrizas, alacrity, zeal, enthusiasm? Did we do it with a mindfulness? Did we do it in a way which really transforms who we are and what we are all about? And lastly, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, also Zatzal, also addresses this question. Yesh lahakshos, how is this vidui called vidui? Shu chelik masa tshuva akloi chazav etfila, yom kibber mizvada. What's with the vidui? Why are we saying vidui specifically in davening? In davening. What is the theme or the essence here of this vidui? So Rav Pinkus writes, we're running out of time, so we'll just skip to the underline. He writes the following. He says, "Maisa vidui amarti chatati vidushati eino maisa shadam oseo beino levein atzmo." Vidui is not something that you do internally or privately or to yourself. Asher mahava bitui lecharata v'tzal masam arayim. This is not like say three Hail Marys, give two gifts to tzedakah, say a couple alchets, and you call it a day. Vidui mahusa hadibrus v'kesher yashir bein adam achote leboro. Vidui is the bridge, the conduit. It is the language which connects us to our Creator. Ha'adam ba lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'omer lo kach. A person comes before Hashem and says, Ribono shel Olam, Hashem, I want to talk to you. I want to repair with you. I want to make an admission to you. Mevata b'zeh sheberetzono lizkarev elav b'chazara. And the person enunciates and articulates to Hashem, there's distance, there's daylight between us, and I don't want it there. I want to grow close. We always find vidui as part of davening. Why is vidui part of davening? When the Ramban learns that the mitzvah of HaMitzvah Zos is tshuva, is vidui, he doesn't say vidui in davening. So why do we always say vidui in davening as opposed to vidui being a standalone mitzvah? And the answer is because vidui is about the conversation with Hashem. Tefillah is the conversation with Hashem. Uve'emes es etzam ha'inyan shel vidui matzina b'lo shaychas l'chait klal v'ha'inyan shel vidui maestros. And here, what's his evidence? That vidui is tefillah. Vidui is that bridge. Vidui is that means of communication. Vidui is the instrument of connection to Hashem. And the evidence is you find it with vidui maestros. We're here in Mizvad Lefnei Hashem, even though there's no chait. So vidui is the way I connect, I confide, I make myself vulnerable to Hashem, even when there's no chait component, even when there's no mistake, even though there's nothing I've done wrong. So this is the halacha, Shulchan Aruch, Source 15. This is the halacha. Tzarech lezvados b'mincha kodem sudam afsekes. We say vidui in Erev, Yom Kippur, we know, in case anything were to go wrong at the sudam afsekes. Ein tzarech lefarid achet, imratz lefarid, shuz b'yado. You don't have to elaborate. If you want to, you're allowed to. But the mizvada balachash, when you do it quietly, then nachal lefarid achet, you should elaborate. You should specify exactly what you did wrong. So we have the vidui that appears in the machzor, in the sitter, art scroll. It's a beautiful, in the back of the art scroll machzer, you have an even more elucidated and elaborated vidui, which is really worth saying slowly and looking at in the back of your machzer. But the ultimate vidui is at some point during Elul Tishrei to sit down and to write out a known list of things. What do I need to work on? What is specific in my life? Where have I gone wrong? Why? Because I want to admit that I could be better. I want to admit that I was wrong. I want to confront the reality. I want to put this out there that I trust that relationship with Hashem. I'm willing to be vulnerable and confide and let Him in. Tzorach leizvados me'umad, you have to do it standing. V'afilu kishama le'mishlich etzibur v'izvada kvar tzorach lamad, you have to stand. V'yachzor v'izvada, and then we repeat the vidui with the shlech tzibur. Avono she'izvada lem yom ha'kipur, shavu l'shin aleim, afilu achi yachol achzor v'izvados aleim, and so on. So we saw a little bit about vidui from our parsha, what Chazal called vidui maestros, which is a bizarre vidui about everything you got right. It really reveals and reflects so much about what vidui is and what we're trying to accomplish during this time of the year. Thank you so much for joining. Please stay put for Rabbi Maskowitz. We've got a great lineup, the afternoon kolo this year. 4 days a week, Rosh Yeshiva, incredible lineup. Hope you stick with it. Really amazing. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you.